Text 3. When I was in high school, my parents decided I should finally learn to cook for myself. When they were going out one evening, my dad said, "There's a pizza in the fridge." All I had to do was to follow the instructions, which were, pop it in the oven and set the timer. What could go wrong? However strange it may sound, while I was taking the pizza out of the oven, I didn't pay enough attention and it slipped out of my hands. It ended up falling face down onto the flame in the oven and caught fire. I immediately threw some water onto it to put the fire out, so nothing terrible happened. But that incident discouraged me from cooking for years. A decade later, I'm still living in New York, a city where the need to cook is basically non-existent, as at the push of a button you can have pizza, sushi, or any other type of food delivered to your doorstep. Still, my strong aversion to cooking became downright embarrassing as time went by. Plus, eating out with a bunch of friends every single night was not doing my finances any favors. So I tried to use apps which give demos of how to make easy meals, but it didn't work out for me. I felt I had to be taught how to cook by someone personally. That's why one of my New Year's resolutions was to enroll in a cooking course. I hoped it would strengthen my determination, and it did. Right at the beginning of January, I did some research into cooking courses available in my neighborhood and signed up for one. I've been attending the classes for 2 months now, and I have discovered that I really enjoy making bread and cakes. The precision required for that is something much more relaxing than the improvisation that goes into other kinds of cooking. I only regret that I now have to pay to learn how to cook, although I could have learnt it for free from my dad, if only I'd wanted to. So, am I the next MasterChef? No. But I still hope I will be able to make a simple meal for my friends one day.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
When I was in high school, my parents decided I should finally learn to cook for myself. When they were going out one evening, my dad said, "There's a pizza in the fridge." All I had to do was to follow the instructions, which were, pop it in the oven and set the timer. What could go wrong? However strange it may sound, while I was taking the pizza out of the oven, I didn't pay enough attention and it slipped out of my hands. It ended up falling face down onto the flame in the oven and caught fire. I immediately threw some water onto it to put the fire out, so nothing terrible happened. But that incident discouraged me from cooking for years. A decade later, I'm still living in New York, a city where the need to cook is basically non-existent, as at the push of a button you can have pizza, sushi, or any other type of food delivered to your doorstep. Still, my strong aversion to cooking became downright embarrassing as time went by. Plus, eating out with a bunch of friends every single night was not doing my finances any favors. So I tried to use apps which give demos of how to make easy meals, but it didn't work out for me. I felt I had to be taught how to cook by someone personally. That's why one of my New Year's resolutions was to enroll in a cooking course. I hoped it would strengthen my determination, and it did. Right at the beginning of January, I did some research into cooking courses available in my neighborhood and signed up for one. I've been attending the classes for 2 months now, and I have discovered that I really enjoy making bread and cakes. The precision required for that is something much more relaxing than the improvisation that goes into other kinds of cooking. I only regret that I now have to pay to learn how to cook, although I could have learnt it for free from my dad, if only I'd wanted to. So, am I the next MasterChef? No. But I still hope I will be able to make a simple meal for my friends one day.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Being an undercover hotel inspector is something I truly enjoy. I always have my story all worked out in advance. But once, when I was sent to review a farmhouse hotel, as soon as I showed up, the receptionist asked me if I had come for the event which was being held in the town. On impulse, I decided not to use the story I'd made up and spontaneously said yes, even though I didn't know what event it was. To my surprise, I was immediately shown to the hotel dining room, where I was seated at a large table with people who had come to take part in the event. It turned out that the event was a farm machinery and agricultural services show, so I had to pretend throughout the evening that I was a potential client.
Two. All my working life has revolved around hotels. I studied hospitality management and after graduation worked as a chef and a restaurant manager. Then, one day I spotted an advert for the position of undercover hotel inspector. It sounded perfect. There were 100 applicants, but my vast experience in the trade landed me the job. I've stayed in mansions and 5-star hotels in the world's biggest cities. But sometimes I'm sent to test out a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And while the experience may not be luxurious, it does give me an opportunity to enjoy quiet walks in the countryside. Three.
My job involves inspecting hotel restaurants. It's not unusual for me to have 2 starters, 2 main courses and 2 desserts, and then call room service for a midnight snack. The food is sometimes horrible, but I have to try it anyway. I don't let anyone know who I am until I pay the bill after breakfast. Then there's usually a kind of nervous energy in the air. But my job is not about giving bad reviews. It's about giving objective feedback and exploring areas where there's room for improvement.
Four. A friend of mine is an undercover hotel inspector, and one day he told me his firm was recruiting. I thought, why not? And I applied. I was successful, and now I've been working as a hotel inspector for about 3 years. At the beginning, I wasn't sure that it was what I really wanted to do, but after some time I changed my mind. My assessment starts the minute I arrive at the hotel. I begin with evaluating the check-in process. In the hotel restaurant, I'll even make a note of how long my water glass sits empty. The evaluation is as much about the staff as it is about the hotel itself. Five.
As an undercover hotel inspector, I have to be creative. Staff can sometimes be very inquisitive. They wonder, why has she come all by herself to an expensive resort like this? I always have a good story prepared. I frequently say that my friends just had a baby, so I'm in town visiting. Then, just in case they have any suspicions, I will, for example, ask the receptionist where I can purchase baby clothes. And in this way, I also test the staff's local knowledge, which is part of the hotel assessment.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
Being an undercover hotel inspector is something I truly enjoy. I always have my story all worked out in advance. But once, when I was sent to review a farmhouse hotel, as soon as I showed up, the receptionist asked me if I had come for the event which was being held in the town. On impulse, I decided not to use the story I'd made up and spontaneously said yes, even though I didn't know what event it was. To my surprise, I was immediately shown to the hotel dining room, where I was seated at a large table with people who had come to take part in the event. It turned out that the event was a farm machinery and agricultural services show, so I had to pretend throughout the evening that I was a potential client.
Two. All my working life has revolved around hotels. I studied hospitality management and after graduation worked as a chef and a restaurant manager. Then, one day I spotted an advert for the position of undercover hotel inspector. It sounded perfect. There were 100 applicants, but my vast experience in the trade landed me the job. I've stayed in mansions and 5-star hotels in the world's biggest cities, but sometimes I'm sent to test out a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And while the experience may not be luxurious, it does give me an opportunity to enjoy quiet walks in the countryside. Three.
My job involves inspecting hotel restaurants. It's not unusual for me to have 2 starters, 2 main courses and 2 desserts, and then call room service for a midnight snack. The food is sometimes horrible, but I have to try it anyway. I don't let anyone know who I am until I pay the bill after breakfast. Then there's usually a kind of nervous energy in the air. But my job is not about giving bad reviews. It's about giving objective feedback and exploring areas where there's room for improvement.
Four. A friend of mine is an undercover hotel inspector, and one day he told me his firm was recruiting. I thought, why not? And I applied. I was successful, and now I've been working as a hotel inspector for about 3 years. At the beginning, I wasn't sure that it was what I really wanted to do, but after some time I changed my mind. My assessment starts the minute I arrive at the hotel. I begin with evaluating the check-in process. In the hotel restaurant, I'll even make a note of how long my water glass sits empty. The evaluation is as much about the staff as it is about the hotel itself. Five.
As an undercover hotel inspector, I have to be creative. Staff can sometimes be very inquisitive. They wonder, why has she come all by herself to an expensive resort like this? I always have a good story prepared. I frequently say that my friends just had a baby, so I'm in town visiting. Then, just in case they have any suspicions, I will, for example, ask the receptionist where I can purchase baby clothes. And in this way, I also test the staff's local knowledge, which is part of the hotel assessment.
Zadanie trzecie.